Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Glamour, Hey, It's Okay. I say fabulous. Don't want to oversell it. We'll see how we go. Hello, hello, and welcome to you all. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Jo Elvin. I'm the editor-in-chief of Glamour, and I'm joined today. I'm basically the meat in a red-headed sandwich. What a glorious place to be that is. Yelp away. I like it. So today I'm joined by Glamour's wonderful social media editor and podcast producer, Kat Brown.
Hello.
And to her right is the beautiful redheaded robot, Angela Scanlon.
Hello.
Hello. I
should have done more robotic voice. Yeah. I didn't know really what to go.
I'm going
to
get in trouble. Everyone's going to be really offended if I say you sounded like a little leprechaun, which you did, didn't you?
Sorry, I kind of did it on purpose. I was just in the wrong mode.
Beautiful, wonderful TV presenter, Irish Angela. How are you?
Irish Angela.
Yeah.
I'm very well, thanks. Yeah. How are you? I'm surprised. I've been listening to your podcast and I've been told about this horrid little cupboard, and this is quite a nifty room you've got here.
Yeah, you sound
bigger than my flat.
In fact, you need to get right on the microphone because otherwise you sound like we've stuck you in a tin bin
really?
Somewhere.
It's which, in my mouth.
Yeah, there.
I feel a bit.
We could record 19 podcasts at the same time in here compared to the space that we used to.
Whose mouth was on my mic before?
It was just everywhere.
But we'll never get any work done because you two both sound so sexy right now. Yeah. I'm very distracted.
And deep breathing down the podcast.
Yeah, it is a little bit. this is slightly off topic, but well, we're not on topic yet. But basically,
we will never get on topic. You know that. Yeah.
Just with the idea that somebody's, you know, drool was on this, and I'm quite intimate with it in the moment. Mm. I was in a cafe this morning, you know, the one with the nice wooden tables and preserves left on it with chocolate and nice jams and honey and stuff.
See, we're not fancy people off the telly. We don't go to such establishments.
It's the one down the road, Pan Le Quotidien. That's how I say it. Because it sounds posh, but
I say, you know, the pan one. Le quotidien.
Okay,
because I'm from Australia.
That's probably right. Yeah. I can't speak French.
I believe that's the proper French.
If it's not Piet, I'm not acquainted with it, frankly.
Okay. It's across the road from Piet. But anyway, this dude sat down, and he was with another guy, and the lady came over and went through the whole menu, and he spoke on the phone the entire time that she explained the menu. And then he said, sorry, can you do that again? Sorry, I was on the phone.
Whoa.
And then I watched him because I was kind of a bit peeved with him for being so rude to her. And then he got a spoon and he went into the Nutella, like a posh Nutella, and took it out and started eating it. Okay. And I thought, cool, but I'm not sure where this is going. And I watched him. And I was ready to say to him, he tried to double dip the public chocolate spread by sticking his like drooly spoon back
in
the thing. I did stop him.
This is like, why you will never see. This is exactly why I never go for the communal condiments, because I know that there are those absolute bastards out there who double dip on a regular basis. Yeah. And I'm too Howard Hughes about the whole
well,
thing.
And
I can't do
that
it.
Nutella horror story, your microphone is actually box fresh. Oh, you are the second person to have used it.
Well, that's not box fresh. Who's the person who used
don't
it?
Don't tell her. Yeah, that's true. It was that Nutella guy. He came in and said there was this really horrible woman who was just staring at me.
Her microphone yeah. just to really
God, yeah, we just got
it.
A terrible secondhand yeah. microphone. Yeah. Be good for when we get on to Christmas presents.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's media. There's not much money in media anymore. It's we totally had to fine. Go for the cheap microphones. So sorry, Angela. Just give it a wipe and get on with it.
Okay, I'm in.
But so, in. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Honestly, I am glad you're here, honest.
Sounds a little yeah. bit more convincing.
Nutella issues aside, how are you? What's going on in your life?
I'm very well. I feel like I'm dressed like Maggie Smith from Lady in the Van.
Well, I'm it's telling you, Maggie Smith is looking hot and on trend.
Thanks, babe. Did you see my yeah. hiking boots?
I love them.
I saw Max look at them in your office earlier on with a slight kind of, what the fuck are they?
I think you've got, with your boyfriend jeans, polo neck, and the desert boots, I think you've got a slightly Come On Eileen video vibe. And that's a good
I'm
thing.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I feel I like I should hashtag your one, clothes my husband hates.
Oh, yeah. He'd definitely hate your clothes. Mm. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm into that. It's man repeller vibe.
I think that I really want your necklace that says BAM. Mm. Because that's in the vein, in the sort of like the realm of novelty clothes that my husband really doesn't like.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Just to really piss him off.
Yeah. And he says to me, you're just choosing things now just to piss me off, aren't you? And I'm saying, yeah, basically. Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
It's because I've started boxing that I wear this necklace. I mean, you know. They're kind of connected.
Does it help the TV, the technique?
No. But it helps me kind of get fired up.
Yeah, I boxing's like massive now, isn't yeah. it? One of my friends has taken it up. And every now and then she gives me like a back selfie.
It's
and I'm just
exhausting.
Like, where did that come from?
It's incredible.
It's hardcore, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it hurts your knuckles.
Really
I said.
Hurts
yeah.
them. And they're kind of like yeah. yellowy and bruised, which yeah. I'm a little bit into. I look down every so often and they're kind of, yeah, it's a bit rough looking.
It's proof of something that you've done, which is fantastic. It's better than a boring old, like, broken, sprained knee
and
or when, something.
Yeah, and if the telly goes wrong yeah. or anything happens, like you can just get into bare knuckle fighting
totally.
And sort of, like, be a bazillionaire.
Or like UFC, Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
Million Dollar Baby.
Redhead.
Or maybe not Million Dollar Baby. That didn't end so well. But,
no.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. One of my, all of boxing films are my favourite. When I was a kid, I used to watch Rocky back to back. And I did, at one point, with my best mate, have a little track in the back garden where we dragged a tire behind us to get fit.
Oh, sweet. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not fit now, but where would you do it? Victoria Park, me in a tire, it'd be really embarrassing.
Oh, I love that story. Mm. I want to see the photographic evidence.
Yeah,
you know,
that.
It was back in the day.
So you're doing the one show.
I am.
How's it going?
It's been, so I've been working with them for a year and it's been really good.
It's an
like
eclectic
a little, family.
Little show, isn't it?
Yes, it yeah. is. It is. Eclectic is the word for it. It's a kind of wonderful mishmash of stories and humans and yeah,
what,
I love
what
it.
Do you think has been your favorite sort of, you know, there are so many moments on the one show that are sort of like peak one show in the sort of like a topic that you would never have thought was an idea and somehow they make it an amazing 5 to 7 minutes of television. What have
yes.
you thought? I can't believe we're actually talking about this.
I mean, there's lots of them. And that's what I think is so special about the one show.
But
the thing,
you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And also, those things don't necessarily have a home anywhere else. And somehow, yeah. all together, they just work. But probably my favourite moment on the one show was lighting of the beacons for the Queen's birthday. And it was a live OB from a hill in Somerset. And it, as live TV often goes wrong. And so we had a 93-year-old woman lighting the beacon. And so I was standing in the truck. We were waiting. We had all of it prepped. I had been up there a couple of days before with the farmers dragging twigs around. Not twigs, but like poles and big stuff. And building this beacon. And we got a call, basically. We were supposed to be 15 minutes away from going live. And then they said, we need you in 1 minute. And I literally leapt out of the truck, running through this very uneven field. And thankfully, was hanging around there. And yeah, 93-year-old artist who was tough as nails. And we lit the bonfire and we were kind of keen that it would make an impact.
I'm getting really worried about what's going to happen to this 93-year-old woman.
Flammable, right?
So we lit it. Yeah. And as It took off quite quickly, more quickly than we anticipated. And it was kind of like this, I mean, burning fire when it's at that level is quite intense and a bit scary. Anyway, I tried to, you know, open it with, hi, we're here in Somerset. We're, you know, on the top of whatever hill. It's the Queen's birthday. And meanwhile, Anne is kind of like a moth to the flame.
Going, this is the lady.
Yeah, closer and closer with her giant stick trying to, you know, make it burn. And she's really stubborn and, you know, hard, like a 93-year-old woman.
You don't get to 93 without being, you know, a take no prisoners.
And stubborn. And she was like, I am not. So I started kind of gripping her by the arm and trying to pull her away from this flame that was kind of getting a bit lively. And she was having none of it. She didn't want my help. She was,
oh, Anne.
Yeah. So I had to kind of, like, you know, drag her along, away from the flame. Anyway, we thought, okay, that was funny, and it all went down really quickly. And then as soon as we got off air, my phone just went absolutely mental because the perspective on TV made it look much worse than it was in reality. So it was, you know, warm, but it made it look like I was actually shoving her in the fire. So we got off and Twitter was going nuts, and they're like, they're burning old women at the stake on the One Show. It's what Liz would have wanted. And,
well, you know,
BBC's really run out of ideas.
I mean,
it's hard to stay creative on the Queen's birthday celebrations. Totally. You got to mix it up, you know.
Yeah.
Chuck an old woman on the fire. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my favourite one.
How is Anne anyway?
She's fabulous, but actually they did have to go out the next day and say, P.S. Anne's fine.
Yeah. Because this is not a real life Hansel and Gretel situation. It's fine.
No Wicker Man to see here. Yeah.
Oh, she's fine. God. Anne is fine.
So I'd imagine there's a few pyrotechnic issues on Robot Wars as well, which is your other sort of
I like
fixture.
Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird. My dad is also obsessed, and my brother-in-law. Mm. I don't know, maybe that's a family thing.
I love the fire on Robot Wars. Basically, it's one of my absolute faves. Yeah. I love that program so much when I say little, basically just when I was younger. And when it came back, I was just like, what if the robots are like really swanky? It's like, no, they all still look like they've been converted out of Hoovers. If one of them falls in a hole, then it's game over.
It's just the most amazing hangover TV.
It is.
It's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, it connects me with my nephew. Really funny. When I finished filming the first series, the foam fingers, which are gold dust, and, you know, have a 3-2-1 activate and In the Pit written on them, I brought home to him. And I said, oh, here's a foam finger. And he looked at it and he said, give it to Fia. It's his younger sister.
No. Like, oh, you just feel really uncool.
You are so cheeky. Anyway, as soon as the show went out, he was obsessed with it. And the foam finger is pride and joy in
And
his
how many
life.
Have you eBayed?
I only took one. And I gave one to a friend of mine for her nephew who was really into the show as well. But I need to steal more.
Oh, lucky nephews.
I know. I want a big foam finger. I could really put that to use in the glamour office, I can tell you. Maybe two.
I'll get finger you foam
guns.
Finger. Yeah.
Get your work done. And so tell me, you've got a Christmas special coming up for Robot Wars.
Yes. Celebrities creating robots of their dreams and then, you know, bashing them in seconds.
That is going to be, I'm going to pour myself the biggest Baileys. It's going to be the size of my head and I'm going to watch Robot Wars.
Baileys.
So think of me.
I will.
Yeah.
I'll be also drinking Baileys or Baileys and brandy together.
Nice.
If you're
strong.
Into that for Christmas. Yeah.
I don't know if the Good Elven one. Household's ready for me to have a brandy and a Baileys together. I don't think that's going
to work
out. I think
Christmas is the perfect time to test.
End up with a big turkey bonfire right there. Hey, it's okay. Angela, you are the one who's listened to the podcast. I'm only kidding. There's loads of people listening. But I know you have listened to the podcast. And so you know that we kind of like debate these topics that are always very heated discussions, particularly in Glamour Features meetings. And one of the first ones I want to talk about is it okay to be one of those people who's quote unquote just being honest? Oh my God, I say no. I think there's such a thing as too much honesty. And I think we've all been a victim of it at some point or another. The thing that came up for me, and I ended up having a debate with a friend I was with, I was at the Paris fashion shows. We all care very deeply about what we're wearing when we're at the shows. You don't want to be the person who's got the naff outfit, you know, so you think about it a lot. And I had on a very nice suit. It was a favourite of mine. I was like, had compliments on it all day, feeling validated, very nice. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a guy I don't really know very well comes running up to me outside the steps of a show and says, Joe, I just think you should know you've got a hole in the backside of your trousers. So I'd been sort of like walking around all day with a big old hole in my trousers. Now, the thing is, it was like she, the friend I was with, said, oh, I just think that's so rude. And I was thinking, well, maybe he just thought he was doing me a favor by telling me. She said, but there's nothing you can do about it. So it's not being nice. I mean, what do you think?
But, well, had she seen it and when he came up and was like, you've got a hole in your ass, you were like, dude, why didn't you tell me earlier on?
I think I did. And she said, she sort of like studied it. And in fairness, it was quite a tiny hole.
Okay, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
So did he need to run up and make such a show about it? Because that's what I think is part of the, do you think the difference between honesty and just being honest.
Do you think that's being spite? Do you think that's spiteful?
It's certainly being a little bit of a making a show out of something. Because it's just like, you don't sprint down the street to go, God, the worst thing's happened. You've got a tiny, almost invisible hole in your arse.
Yeah. Honestly. Yeah, and also I think there's ways of doing it discreetly that suggest it's out of a place of kindness rather than kind of, state of you.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I like honesty.
What, even brutal honesty?
Well, brutal-ish honesty. I suppose I look at honesty as the opposite of falsity. And I suppose I am much more drawn to people who are direct and straight with me than people who dress things up.
So that's more being genuine, isn't it?
Is it? Okay, fine.
I think I would totally take somebody telling me that I'd, you know, got... I mean, I very, very often end up with red wine around my mouth or chocolate on my nose or
that's
something
true.
In this office.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's just for later, no?
Exactly, obviously. Yeah. But, and I never mind, obviously, when people tell me, because I'm like, oh, thank God, you know, get rid of these weird toddler horns and stuff. But there is, you can always hear that sort of sting that comes from somebody just going, I just thought you should know.
Yeah, no,
just
that's
being
not
honest.
Nice.
And I'm like...
It definitely depends who it is. Mm. I mean, I've got a very small circle of trusty people I want to hear brutal truths from.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't extend much beyond my husband. You know, I'm quite happy to... You know, because I know that he's always got my interests at heart and telling me the truth. But then you go to the other end of the spectrum and somebody telling you, you know, you looked awful or you said something stupid on Twitter. And it's like, well, I'm just being honest. I thought you'd appreciate me being honest. That. It's like,
there's a lot of that on Twitter as well. Isn't there?
See, I think Twitter has opened the floodgates because it allows people all the time to remark on things and they actually think they're an authority and that you are open to hearing
I'm forever having to remind myself that opinions aren't facts because there's a lot of people out there who think an opinion is a fact. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
But I do think you're right in that it's kind of the delivery. I remember I had been away for a summer with a bunch of friends and we'd, you know, when girls are all together, we'd been, you know, chowing down on the food quite a bit. And so I came back, my ex-boyfriend, we went to his house and I saw his mum, who I actually got on really well with, but she's a strong and honest woman, and she was sick at the time in bed, you know, a cold, nothing serious. And I walked into the room to say hi and she said, wow, you got really fat in the face.
Wow.
Okay. And my instant reaction was, yeah, well, you're not looking too hot yourself.
Did you say that?
I did. And he was just like, what the hell was that about? You can't like attack my mother. And I said, well, I'm pretty sure she attacked me first. So yeah, sometimes my mouth and my brain are, you know, it just comes out before I realize that it may cause offense.
Oh, I like that though, because when people say things like that to me, I go numb with shock, and and then it's 2 days later I think of the that I should have said.
So. Yeah, well, I had to apologize for that, so maybe it's
why?
Good. Well, I know she apologized to me too. I instigated the apology.
A mutual apology, I think.
Mutual
is
apology.
Totally fine.
Yeah, but then by then she's told you you've got fat in the
face. I know,
face.
And I'm already paranoid about my public appearances at a 21st down the road in a cow shed or wherever.
Oh, gosh, I don't know what else to add to that. It's like, I just feel like, I do think that there's a weird kind of premium placed on honesty, which I just don't think it's always the most valuable.
Policy.
No, and it also seems to be like, I'm just giving you my honest opinion. It's like, well, your opinion is not made of gold and it's not a really expensive thing from Liberty and therefore it holds no intrinsic value to me. So
and especially if I'm looking tired, just lie to me because my God, I think that's code for, you know, it's always dressed up as concern.
Yeah.
And actually it's just telling you, you look
you
like
look
shit.
So tired. I'm like, keep it to yourself. Yeah.
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 So
who asked you? yeah. for your opinion and your honesty.
Yeah, just give a nice Vaseline, soft focus approach to everything.
I agree.
Yeah.
Lie to me about everything. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ladies, sorry, some people hate ladies, don't they?
Why?
I love ladies, I don't know. Beyonce ladies. Says it, so I'm fine with it. So ladies, I want to talk about face-to-face interaction, and is it okay to kind of be allergic in this day and age to talking to people face-to-face? And I do, I'm guilty. I've got friends who are only my friends online, and usually that works for both of us. Occasionally there's somebody who wants to meet, and I'm kind of a bit struck with terror, because what if it just is a bit awkward and just doesn't work in real life? What do you think?
Face-to-face, it's a tricky one. I think it depends on the day, it depends on the mood, depends on the person. I flip between being loving face-to-face. When I'm in it with anybody, I usually enjoy it. But the idea of it sometimes freaks me out. Mm. I think I have to really work myself up to it.
And like you were saying, it depends on the day, it depends on your mood and everything. But I think it really depends on the circumstance now as well.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've been thinking about for an article that I was writing recently was about like old school networking, which obviously in journalism is a huge part of how you get to meet people. And I remember when I was 22 and had just moved to London, going along to loads of these events, and I was working on a film magazine, and like every other young kid there was on a newspaper and was really proud of that fact and let you know all about it. So I'd basically turn up for about 10 minutes, perhaps try and talk to somebody, feel horribly out of my depth, and then scuttle off home. So it's been brilliant since then to have something like Twitter, for example, that lets you just sort of build up those relationships, not in a sort of like, I'm watching you on the internet sort of way, but you get to chat to people and share interesting things.
And craft a pithy reply.
Only 140
with
characters.
With time on your side.
Exactly.
But also it does kind of almost lay the foundations, because I think everyone's so busy now that actually allowing yourself to have those relationships online and then, you know, they elevate to face to face.
Here's something. I mean, this may be stretching some way, but we were talking recently in a Glamour Features meeting about millennials having the least sex of any generation.
Really?
Apparently. Yeah, they're not getting down to it.
Because they send pictures of each other naked, but
don't
do the deed.
Well, I think because they're living in virtual reality. They're living on Tinder. They're not meeting in bars the way that, you know, old birds like me did. You know what I mean? And I just wonder if that's a symptom of this new...
I'm always a bit shady about polls like those, to be honest. Mostly because I love a poll.
Oh,
I love a questionnaire.
Don't ruin my half-baked theory.
And I'm never invited to take part in these polls.
Yeah.
So, but I think again, it just depends on the person, really, doesn't it?
If it's a millennials poll, then how old are they?
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I keep saying millennials. I think it's anywhere from 16 to
25-ish.
Yeah, okay.
What do they call the snowflake era? Generation?
They don't like that.
I know.
Sorry, millennials. She said it. I didn't.
No, I'm just really curious about, you know, about that theory. And it kind of feels somewhat related, that idea that you kind of live in slightly... you know, in a bubble and that face-to-face.
I think when you're a bit younger, like say when you're a teenager, when you're in a really difficult stage anyway, because you do just sort of feel a bit nervous about people and about the public impression that you're getting, having a phone and having WhatsApp and having Twitter or Instagram and a thing can be really useful for sort of building up a persona. But it can also be a bit difficult in the sense that it stops you like going out into the big world and actually sort of having to do that difficult stuff. I remember for about 10 years between when I was about 12 to 22, I was terrified of using the phone. And I'd always basically like just have a small nervous fit every time I had to call up a temping agency or something.
Actually picking up the phone. Yeah.
And I don't know whether that was just being worried about sort of talking to somebody new or just having to engage in that way. Mm. But if I could have sent an email or a tweet, I'd have been like, yeah, sorted. Yeah,
and the difference between having an actual phone call or receiving a phone call, particularly now, elevates things and speeds things up, I think. It's kind of quite friendly and intimate if somebody rings you directly now, because it's usually done over text or WhatsApp.
Yeah.
I much prefer it. But when I was a kid, I remember, because the same thing, I think it's almost training. You have to push yourself in to do these
things.
When we would buy things as kids, and if we wanted to change it or there was something wrong, my mom would make us go up and say to the shopkeeper or whatever, I'd really like to, you know, return this. And I remember the fear of having to have that, you know, what felt like a confrontation at the time. And I know friends who still will not return things because they can't bear the awkward conversation.
So maybe it's not the fear of being face to face. It's the fear of all the other things underneath, like rejection or confrontation or anything like that. Because I mean, I love getting together with my friends.
Yeah, I think it's just it's the fear of being exposed, and that, you know, you can be a lot cleverer and a lot more crafted and a lot more calculated in the way you interact online. And people are more afraid of, once those barriers are taken away, they're more afraid of being seen as having a not very clever moment or, you know. And I mean, I'm terrified. I'm one of these people, and I'm not shy at all. But if, say, there's a group of three or four, even if it's someone I know really well, and the two of the others go to the bar or go to the toilet, and it's just one-on-one, all of a sudden I'm a bit, it's like seeing a policeman and feeling guilty for no reason. I get awkward for no reason because it's just us two.
I'm exactly
so
the same.
Weird.
I think three is the perfect number.
Yeah.
For a social, like for, you know, intimate social,
when that third person gets up though and goes to the toilet. It's like, oh my God, what are you doing? A number one or a number two? How long are you going to be? Come back, quick.
Does this mean I have to be very clever and on point and everything? Have I had to be up to date with all the news that's happening this week?
Yeah.
So strange.
Yes. So a list of topics.
Yeah.
Conversation.
God, well, actually, that's very good prep for Christmas as well. That is the one face-to-face gathering that I always find slightly unnerving, because, like, I love my family dearly, but for some reason that one day of the year turns us all absolutely batshit crazy.
Do you regress into your teenage self?
Oh, God, absolutely.
Yeah, it's nuts,
I'm really trying to be mindful of that. Ugh, disgusting term. But, like, that classic thing of when you go home and you count down the days and you're like, yep, I can manage 3 days before we're all absolutely going to explode.
Yeah.
And it is that thing that, like, I'm a confident, capable person, my friends like me, but, oh my God, I can't believe you said that, and I'm going to go and storm off to my room.
I know. And it's really funny when you watch people close to you become that as well, because you don't think you're doing it yourself. It's hard to actually recognize it sometimes.
I'm just going to watch TV and periodically have a carb coma.
That's
Christmas.
And socks. I wear builder socks or bed socks. I know they're the least sexy thing in the world, but I love them. And that's my number one tip for Christmas. Anyone cashmere socks, just chuck them at me.
And then go outside and wrestle your tire to the background. And
all over it.
Yeah, got it. So speaking of Christmas, that leads very nicely onto, as you know, we're recording this in time for a Christmas little festive podcast.
It's almost Christmas.
Have you done your shopping?
I've done a bit of it. Yeah.
I'm ahead this year, ahead of the game.
Yeah. I've done online shopping. I've done personalised stationery for people.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, see,
I've probably left it too late now.
No, you haven't. You haven't. Mm. Okay. There's loads of places and it's like next day delivery or 2 days. It's good.
Wow. Yeah. I'm always so learning. Envious. I'm so envious of this. Mm. I just get into an absolute blind state where I forget what anybody I'm related to, anybody I love is interested in. And I think this stems from 1 year on my dad's 40th birthday when his dad got him a ball of twine.
A ball of twine?
Yeah. Well, you know, that can be quite useful.
Well, I'm just bearing that in mind, that however crap my presents get, they'll never get that bad.
Your dad,
Yeah, his dad gave him a ball of twine.
Well, just
happy 40th.
Like it wasn't a joke.
No, it was deadly serious.
Wow.
I can't think of anything that would be worse.
A little bit
twine.
Speechless about
an
that.
Onion with 5p in it.
What?
It's my sister got it in a stocking before. And we spoke about it recently. And my parents said, you know, we had like a little pile of gifts for each person. And then suddenly these bloody stockings were introduced. And now we had to get a whole load of other gear to go in them. And so they got a bit giddy on Christmas Eve.
The onion with a 5p in
an
it.
Onion. I mean, I'm guessing my mum was preparing stuffing and my dad saw it and he stuck a bit of money in it and shoved it in
just
the
just thought it would be funny.
You know, after a few drinks, it probably was funny. Less funny when she, you know, opened her sock.
So this leads on. Do you think it's okay? Is it okay to be one of those people who gives a very an itemized list of what they want for Christmas? Is it all right to order your Christmas gifts?
See, I think we do Secret Santa in our house. I've four sisters. No, three sisters. There's four
get
of us
right.
all together.
Yeah.
Sorry. And so for a time, you know, we were students or we were all like, we didn't really have much money. And so we thought that was a nice way to do it. Everyone could get a semi-decent present without breaking the bank. And then because we were not working, maybe we needed stuff. You know, like you'd need stuff. You have them on your list that you might not necessarily go out tomorrow and just buy. And so we started to order presents. So we'd say, oh, I really like these boots. Here's the link. Send that on. Or will you get me a hair straightener or whatever it might be? But we've decided this year only that we're not allowed to order presents anymore. And so we, because it kind of, like as a grown up, it's a bit soul destroying. And I think it kind of does take a bit away a bit of the magic because you're like, literally, here's your present that you already asked for. What's the point? It just transfer the fun.
Yeah, people it just, really split, don't
it,
they?
It feels more like a just a cold transaction rather than a something.
But I guess if you're a very practical person, it's like, yeah, well, I don't want all the tat that I will never use and I don't need.
I guess that's the counter argument, isn't it? That some people are like, well, what's the point of, you know, all this endless materialism, all this stuff that I don't need or want. So get me something that I don't know. I feel a bit, I do have people in my life and I can't say too much because then I'll have to fake my own death in time for Christmas. But it's, you know, I don't like that. The list that comes with it and don't veer from this. Mm-hmm. And I have had that experience and it's, you know, I just find it
you
shocking.
Need some Christmas magic in there as well, which is not just another code name for vast amounts of alcohol.
Yeah.
Last year was my first Christmas as a married woman with my in-laws and my mother-in-law rendered me absolutely speechless because I unwrapped this present. And it was a candle, this is so pathetic, but it was a candle I'd always wanted for myself, but because it was so stratospherically expensive, smelt of Christmas and was absolutely beautiful, I was never going to buy it for myself. And I must have mentioned it to her or something in passing about like 9 months before, but she is one of those people that just sort of stockpiles and hoards these little memories.
But that's amazing.
Incredible.
That's lovely.
That's what I aspire to, and I just go to the other end and it's all crap.
Just put it in your notes in your phone.
Yes.
I do that.
I've got a whole...
But then I never buy them.
I have a whole litany of panic buyers in my family, so I get tubes of face wash.
Oh, man. Which is really, really, you know, it's great when you don't have beauty products sitting in a pile in a room in here.
There's a lot to be said for an Amazon wish list sometimes as well.
Oh, no. See, you're going back there.
I am, but it's only because... So my brother and his wife live in Singapore and they're moving back this Christmas.
Right.
And she is so phenomenally organised that they've already been doing their Christmas cards and sorting out their shopping. But my brother just wanted to get my husband's present sorted. And my husband is incredibly difficult to buy for because he's very ascetic. He doesn't own much stuff. But if there's something that he really wants, he just goes and gets it. And I'm like, no, Harry, this has completely defeated the point.
That's my
having a birthday
like
and a Christmas. Yeah. And it will also be the reason why he ends up getting a tangerine. And I go, here, I've bought you some health. Enjoy.
I suppose that's true. I want some hints from my husband and I never get them because, and he is annoyingly really good at the creative gift that you would never have thought to buy for yourself and the thing that he's been thinking about and planning for weeks. And I am the panic buyer who goes and gets him a shirt from Coz because I can't think of anything else.
Just maybe get it like embroidered and then you're done.
Yeah. See, I
Isn't
need
there
you.
A little station in Topshop?
Yeah. You're on the personalized thing. That's a really good idea.
Well, it's kind of also an easy way of looking
like
you know,
really thought about it.
But I used to be really good at presents, or at least I thought I was. And then I totally got out of the hang of it. And I'm pushing myself to do it because actually I enjoy buying and giving presents more than I actually do, which sounds really cheesy and cliched, but I get much more joy. I dread opening presents from people, especially when they're looking at me because my face doesn't lie.
Oh, yeah, that's difficult.
It's awful. Yeah.
I tend to go the other way and go really hysterically, like it's like, you know, it's £1 million in there. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and my husband's sort of elbowing me going, just dial it down.
Dial it down.
It's like, no one's buying it.
It's body cream, babes.
But it was the most amazing body cream ever.
I love this everybody. Years. Oh my God.
Oh, chutney.
Yeah.
You're so lovely. I mean, I do actually love chutney, but still.
I was just going to say, I quite like a chutney. I think that means we're getting old when you want condiments for Christmas.
I wouldn't mind socks either. Isn't that tragic? So,
hello,
I love a good sock.
Cashmere
socks. Yeah, of course. Cashmere Builder socks.
That, in M&S, they have them. And the White Company, too, have really nice ones, ribbed ones that, oh, they're just delicious.
Just makes
they get holes in them quite a bit, though.
Socks for everybody for Christmas.
I don't know what I want for Christmas.
Socks, babes.
I want peace on earth. Yeah. I don't know about you two material bitches.
Well, as long as I get two pairs of socks too. Yeah, I'll
but
go with that.
But also, peace on earth feels just, you know, like a bit of a far cry this Christmas.
Oh, no. Let's not end on a downer, Angela. Yeah. Come on.
Just get socks and a pudding and be done with it.
Ding dong merrily on high.
2016. We're nearly done with you, 2016.
I know.
Everyone's determined for 2017 to be amazing.
And you know what?
No pressure,
2017. It will be. Yeah. It will be.
Yeah.
You know, I once went for a manicure and this really shady guy in the manicurist place told me I should have a baby immediately, right? And I was like, okay, cool. I mean, I just want, you know, a nudie kind of colour. And he said, I was like, okay, cool, why? And he said, well, all of the, you know, brilliant souls have died basically this year and they'll come back in the next couple of years to save the world. And I said, okay, cool, yeah, noted. And then he started asking me, do you wear a lot of black? And I said, yeah, I mean, I like it. And he said, yeah, what's your life's purpose? At this point, I was getting a bit pissed off. And I was like, I don't know. How about you tell me? Because you seem to know everything about me. And he said, your life's purpose is not to die. I was like,
isn't that everybody's life purpose? Or am I massively missing the point?
Or really threatening from
a
dude that lives opposite your house.
You are ultimately going to fail your life's purpose then. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But I think maybe you should have a baby just in case he's right.
Yeah. A little Bowie.
Yeah, please. We need
imagine
one.
The pressure.
Yeah.
Giving birth to the next Bowie. I could definitely deal with giving birth to the next Terry Wogan. That'd be awesome.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would always liven up Christmas.
Yeah, my always. God, I have a friend who called her kid
image.
Bowie.
Hello, Kat. Happy Christmas.
That's an awful accent. Don't ever attempt it again.
Oh, poor Terry. Poor Ireland. I apologise, Ireland.
Like, poor Ireland. This is getting worse.
We love Terry and we love Ireland. Yeah. And we love you, Angela.
Thanks, babes.
And
love you too.
We're so happy that you came to...
Me too.
Yes. Hang in there. It's not a pod cupboard anymore. It's a pod room.
We might have
cube?
To erect some walls. Yeah. It feels unnaturally huge in here now.
It's a full room.
Mm. But enjoy Robot Wars, everybody.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Can't wait.
We don't know exactly the transmission date because... No. Angela's publicist Max is just he just couldn't get it together just sitting here, but it is in Christmas somewhere in
somewhere there just so, pile the chocolate in, you know, just pull up a can,
just sit in front of the television 24/7,
wait for it,
and in case, because you don't want to miss it,
you don't want to miss it.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.